Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many people in life have times when they wonder, what am I here for? What's my purpose in life? Does what I do really matter? In our text today, the Apostle Peter answers those questions for us. He reminds us that we do matter to God, and that we serve him an important purpose in his plan. Because of our relationship with God through Jesus the Savior, God calls us his church. Peter refers to us as living stones, which might sound kind of strange to us because we don't really think of stones as being alive. In fact, terms that we use like a heart of stone or stubborn as a rock really imply that rocks or stones are senseless and lifeless. But Peter describes us as living stones, people to whom something has happened, a change has taken place in our hearts, people in whom the spirit and power of the risen Lord reigns, people who have come to experience the power of the risen Savior every day of their lives. But we may be tempted to think of ourselves as anything but a living stone. Sometimes the power, the radiance, or the warmth of Jesus seems to be far removed from our lives. In some of life's more bleak moments, we might feel that we are actually without God and without hope in the world, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2. We might be tempted to ask God, what have you done for me lately? But Peter reminds us that we are the people of God. We are living stones because of our relationship to the living stone. That living stone about whom Peter was speaking is none other than Jesus Christ. Peter quotes from Psalm 118 in the Old Testament, which was written centuries before Jesus' time, about the stone that the builders rejected becoming the cornerstone, the most important stone in the building. This was a prophecy that spoke about the Messiah and what would happen to him, that the Messiah would be rejected by the builders. Peter identifies the Messiah as Jesus. And the builders were the religious leaders of the Jewish people of Jesus' day. They were the ones who were supposed to be taking care of God's people. But it was from them that Jesus received his fiercest opposition. They were supposed to be building up God's spiritual house. But instead, they rejected the most important, the most indispensable stone, Jesus Christ. Although Jesus was rejected by men and cast aside, he was the one chosen by God from eternity. God the Father expressed his approval of Jesus for all to hear at Jesus' baptism when he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit was poured out on him in the form of a dove. Jesus is precious to God the Father. And he is also precious to us who believe in him, because it is through his life that we have life, now and for eternity. It is through Jesus' great redemptive act of death and resurrection that we have been reconciled to God by the forgiveness of our sins, that we have been claimed by God as his own children, and that we have been named by God as his heirs. Heirs for time and for eternity, heirs of all of the wonderful things that God has prepared for us who love him. Although there are people who reject Jesus and reject his claims about what he has accomplished, although the gospel of Jesus is still foolish to unbelievers and a stumbling block for them, for us, the gospel is the very power of salvation. Living stones is a very fitting description of our relationship with the living stone. We are numbered together with all the other living stones that make up the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, as we confess in the Creed. The church is the spiritual temple of the Lord, and it is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that is, upon the inspired word of God from the Old and the New Testaments of the Bible. And Jesus himself is the cornerstone of that temple, without whom there would be no church at all. Living stones are people to whom the Lord is precious, because we recognize that what we were before, compared to what we are now through faith in Jesus, is absolutely no comparison at all. Peter says this, "At one time, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time, you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy." And so here, our identity question is answered. We are the people of God. We have experienced his mercy in Christ Jesus. That is where our identity is derived from our relationship with God as his dearly loved children through Jesus. And our identity also comes from our relationship with one another, brothers and sisters through faith in Christ Jesus, bound together by the same faith, by a mutual purpose, carrying out the mission to which God has called us, bound together by loving care and concern for one another. It is God who has redeemed us by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus. God has claimed us to be his own. God has put his name on us in the waters of baptism and called us heirs, his heirs of eternal life. And so it's no wonder that Peter is led to call the people of God a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession. We are a spiritual temple, called to be a holy priesthood in order to bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The church finds its reason for being in the realization that it exists to do God's will. A holy nation is a people set apart for God's own purpose. In Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." In our text, Peter echoes that same theme, saying that we have been chosen by God so that we may proclaim the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This means, in part, Peter says, that as foreigners in this world, we who are in the world but not of the world, we will flee from sin. Sin which wages a war against our souls. Sin which so easily undermines our relationship with God. Sin which jeopardizes our eternal destiny. These are the cravings and the desires that are aroused in us by our sinful nature and by the devil's temptations and the influence of the world around us, which the Apostle Paul describes in Galatians chapter 5. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Placed in contrast to those lusts of the sinful nature, our text from 1 Peter speaks of the spiritual sacrifices that God wants us to offer to him. Free gifts are produced by the power of God himself. They are acceptable to God because they are prompted by him and come out of this new relationship that we have with him through Jesus Christ. It is by living our lives according to God's will that the name of God is glorified before the world. Spiritual sacrifices are understood in the quality of life that we exhibit, in the kind of attitude that we project, the kind of caring individuals that we are, the kind of priorities that we set for our lives. People can pick up on attitudes of hope and joy, of caring and concern, of forgiveness and warmth. A confidence that is born, confidence that is born in us of the resurrection of Jesus, and confidence that is measured in terms of our devotion to Christ and our concern for others. We are to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God is not asking us to become witnesses to something that we have not experienced ourselves. Jesus, who is precious to God the Father, is also very precious to us. We who at one time were not a people are now the people of God. We who at one time had not been shown mercy have now been shown mercy by God. We daily richly experience all the fullness of God's grace as He forgives our sins, as He lifts us up as His children, and as He sends us forth in His name to proclaim His love to the people around us. As we daily experience the riches of God's grace and His mercy, as we experience them anew every day, we share it to others, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We daily share it with others as we seek to be instruments of our Lord in drawing others into fellowship with Him as the people of Christ. As we ponder how often we have forgotten who we are and have forgotten what a great task and purpose God has called us to fulfill, in spite of the fact that we have forgotten and that we have failed to fulfill God's purposes and expectations, the forgiveness of Christ that He secured for us on the cross still can and does work inside our hearts. We are living stones called for spiritual worship of our Heavenly Father. As Peter says, to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are people in whom, by God's grace, the power of Christ will live and will be active now and until the day when Christ calls us to our eternal home with Him. Amen.